Are you happy to be in church today? Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be here. I know God's got good plans for us, big things for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Lisa, you can sit right where you were sitting. That's fine. Praise God. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw that. See, now everybody moved to the other side. Now we'll move everybody back. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes, you know, the church just gets out of balance and we got to put it back in balance. It doesn't matter what size church you've had. I've learned this. It doesn't matter how many people you have. Sometimes you get those services where just everybody will sit towards one side. Praise the Lord. And why do we mix it up? It's not, there's no rules to it. But I'm just going to be completely honest with you. It's weird to me if I look on one side and it's full and the other side and it's not. Praise the Lord. So I'm not obsessive compulsive. I don't need everything to be odds and you know, or everything to be evens or whatever. Praise the Lord, but I do like balance. Praise the Lord. I need balance in the force. Praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. God is good. We love you. We're excited to be here tonight. I'm excited to be back in the pulpit. I feel like it's been 10 years since I've preached. Amen. And it's only been one week. Praise the Lord. Well, 1 week I wasn't here. It's been 2 weeks since I preached. But, when you do this, sometimes I can't believe that I even get a chance to preach. I can't believe they put me up here, but they do. Praise the Lord. I can't believe that you put up with me, but you do. Amen. But, I was thinking about this today, you know, I'm fulfilling the plan of God for my life when I minister, of course, and as I, you know, do the duties of a pastor, praise the Lord. It's such a joy to be able to do that. And I'm so thankful for that, but you don't want to be away from it too long. Amen. Because then you feel like, it's like what Brother Hagin says, showering with your socks on. Something doesn't feel right in life. Amen. And so we're back in the saddle, praise the Lord, raring to go, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight's message is called, What's His Plan? Amen. And, to be completely honest with you, I named this about 5 minutes ago. I had the message for a little while, but I just didn't really know what to name. I know that there's some things in tonight's message that are really going to help us, amen, that are really for us, that God really wants to do, and it's about His plan, so I just kind of pulled that out, praise the Lord. It's just rare for me. Why do I share all this with you? Well, because, you know, there's no set rules. Necessarily. I mean, we have a set of rules, the Bible. We have a set of things, guidelines to follow and stuff like that. I'm not saying it's all free for all, but it's important for me to let you know that God doesn't just work in a box, that God just doesn't do things the way that He always, that we always expect that they're going to be done. Amen. God does things the way He does things. Amen. Now, we can count on Him to, you know, God is God. He doesn't change. But we don't want to put God in a box and say, well, every time it's got to look like this, or every time it's got to look like that. You know, I remember as I was growing up in the faith, as I would reach out to people and I would say, well, how did you get to this point? And I would want to hear their stories. And that is good. We should hear the stories of other people. It's exciting to hear, well, what did God do for you? And how did He get you through this trial? And how did He get you out of this mess? It's a wonderful thing to hear testimonies. But what testimonies are supposed to do are to encourage us that God is still working. Amen. But what they're not supposed to do is to give us a set of guidelines on how God is going to do it. Because your situation is different than my situation. You know, there's a lot of things that we'll go through in life that are the same. There's, you know, the Bible says there's nothing new to man. There's nothing new under the sun, praise the Lord. There's nothing that's going to come at us that someone else hasn't faced. But you know, the devil likes to try to throw things at us that will trip us up a little bit. He likes to get us, when you're proficient in one area, He wants to come at you from an area you're not proficient in. Amen? And that's why our God is so awesome, because it doesn't matter what direction the devil is coming from, He's always ready. And so as we learn to live in God's plan, as we learn to, praise God, hallelujah, there is such a good anointing in here tonight, praise the Lord. I'm just excited for God, what God wants to do. Amen. You know, praise God. You can get discouraged by so many things in life. But I'm just going to tell you right now, though, if you get the anointing of God, if you follow the plan of God, hallelujah, He will always meet you there, and He will always ensure that you go through to the other side. But it's not going to be the same way. And so this is what you can have peace in, because sooner or later, you're going to ask somebody about their story, about their testimony. How did they make it? And then it's going to excite you. But then partway through it, you're going to be like, yeah, but my story is a little bit different. I wonder if God. But just know this, God can, God will, God does, because God is. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just so excited for what God's doing in Corey. I'm so excited for what he's doing in your lives. And some of you may say, hey, I'm not from Corey. Because there's some of you that aren't from Corey. Amen. That's okay. Because God's working there too. And that you're here tonight, he'll work with you tonight because God loves you. Even here, praise the Lord, outside of your normal, praise God, your normal space or your normal place. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what's his plan? What's God's plan? We're going to get into this. I had this come to me as I was just in the office preparing ahead of time. It says, I heard this in my spirit. His plan is for here on earth. Amen. God's plan is for here while we live here on earth. Now, God does have a plan for future. He has a plan for eternity. But God, as he wants to reveal his plan to us, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, his plan is for here on earth. Amen? Therefore, if his plan is for here on earth, then his promises are also for here on earth. God's given us promises for eternity, to give us a hope and a future, to give us an expectation of our final outcome. But you know, his promises, a lot of the Bible is about how to live now, what we're supposed to live in now, what we're supposed to have here, praise the Lord. Now, there's examples. We know that there's examples of the way people lived in the past, and they're written for our example to know that God will do certain things, and he will, you know, whenever the enemy attacks, he'll counterattack, and he'll give us a way out of it. He'll give us a way through all the time, amen? They're written for our examples of how to follow God, amen? And we know that God does that. But his promises, we have to get to the place where we know that his promises are for here. And if his promises are, you know, some people, I don't want to just say they're for here, because if I just say that they're for here, you say, okay, well, they're for the earth. But more specifically, his promises are for now. I'm glad you're excited about that. Praise the Lord. His promises are for now. Everybody say it with me. God's promises are for me, and they are for now. Praise the Lord. That's what you need to know. Our God is a God, a now God. Amen. And, way back in the Old Testament, God told us that he is the I am. I am the I am. Amen. What is I am? I am. It wasn't I was. That's the past. It wasn't I will be. That's the future. God is a God of now. You know, see, we had those shirts made up, but God is God, amen. It was based on that scripture in Exodus, praise the Lord. And some people, you know, kind of poked fun at it. They're like, oh, yeah, God is God. That doesn't make much sense. But it does if you think about it. God is the God who is the God of now, amen. I am the I am. That always tripped me up before when I first heard that scripture. I'm like, what does it mean when he said, I am the I am? Do you think that God said, I am the I am on accident? Do you think that God said, I am the I am because it sounded poetic? Do you think he said, I am the I am because it was just the first thing that popped in his head? No. He said, I am the I am to let us know that he is the now. He is right now. He is the God of now. And so his promises are for you now. His promises are for you today. Praise the Lord. He wrote his promises down thousands of years ago. He verified them and said they would be true thousands of years ago. He made them so thousands of years ago, but they are promises for now. Amen. And this is why people, the devil has got so many Christians believing, well, this was for that time and this was that. No, his promises are today. His promises are now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so is the plan of God. It's for today. Turn with me to Psalm 119:32. Psalm 119 is, man, I don't, if it's not my favorite psalm, it definitely is up there. Amen. Psalm 119, it's a long psalm, but it's a good psalm. Amen. There's lots of really wonderful things in there. Psalm 119:32. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love the word of God. Amen. The word of God helps us. It encourages us. It takes us into all that God has for us. Praise the Lord. Lets us know what's ours. Says in this psalm, it says, I will run the course of your commandments. Praise God. In other words, I'm going to do what your plan. I'm going to follow your plan. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Amen. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Hallelujah. You know, this is something that I've seen that God has done in me and he does in me continually since I became a Christian all the way up until now, praise the Lord. And I know he'll do it until either Jesus comes back or I go home to be with him. One of the two things, you know, one of the two, whatever happens first. But you shall enlarge my heart. Part of the purpose of God's gospel, You know, notice it says, at first it says, I will run the course of your commandments. So I'm going to follow your word. I'm going to follow what your direction is. Praise the Lord. And through that, he's saying, you shall enlarge my heart. See, God's word, God knows that we are all at different places. He knows that we are all at a place without him. We have all been at a place that's not up to God's par. Amen. He tells us in Isaiah that, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But that doesn't mean to keep it that way. Amen. Amen. God doesn't want us to keep our thoughts, not his thoughts. He tells us that so we know that they're not. So when we have our own thoughts, we're like, well, there's something wrong in that. I need to get in his thoughts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But God wants to enlarge our hearts. What does that mean? True godly desire. The Bible says that he will give us the desires of our heart. True godly desire, praise the Lord, comes from the heart. There'll be things that'll be in your heart. Amen. There's things that are in my heart even today. Praise the Lord. And Father, I receive them in Jesus' name. I receive them believing, Lord, that you will bring them all to pass. Praise the Lord. And God, I ain't even got to strive for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I ain't even got to strive for it. I know, Lord, that you have determined that these are mine, and you've given me the desires in my heart. You've placed those desires there, Lord, because you want me to see them. You've enlarged my heart. And today, Lord, I receive that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, just as I was up here, God was showing me things. Hallelujah. I just love our Lord. This is what he's a revealer of secrets. God wants to enlarge our heart. His intent is that our hearts be expanded to be able to desire and to see greater things than we've ever imagined. Greater things. I'm not just talking about, if we focus on money, if we focus on things, all that stuff is just a little, but God really, there's so much more in that. You know, there's things that are attached to it that are so much more than that. And God needs us to be willing and able to receive what he has for us. And that is an enlargement of the heart. Amen. The enlargement of the heart is opening yourself up to God's plan and to seeing all that he has. Amen. You know, when God first told us to start a church, praise God, way back when we're starting Mayville, there wasn't a lot of finances. There wasn't a lot of ability. You know, when we first started it, there was, they were sending us out with some things, praise the Lord for it. But there had to be things like a congregation had to be built and funds had to be built. Because our goal, our heart was to be in a building. But we couldn't just go up and buy a building because we didn't have any kind of congregation to support it. Amen. And these things happen. You can't support a building without a congregation. Praise the Lord. And so, we couldn't imagine how that would come to pass. And in just a few short years, God was able to give us a building. And God was able to get us to the place where we could, obtain the finances to receive the building. Because how many know that the banks aren't just giving out money to people that don't have much credit? And we weren't a church that had much credit, amen? Because when we got the building, we had only been open, I think, 2 years. That's not enough time to establish anything as far as the banks are concerned. And so, and then within just a few more years, we have another church and another building. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, none of this stuff would happen, though, if we kept small thinking, if we kept a small heart, if we just thought, maybe I know God wants to do good things, but I just can't see how he's going to do it. So I'm just going to, God needs our faith to connect to it. He needs us to connect to what he's doing. He needs us to allow him to enlarge our hearts so we can see, wait a minute, you know what? I don't just see this building. I see this building full. Praise the Lord. I actually, to tell you the truth, my building in Mayville, we're trying to get it finished. We're trying to get it all things in order there. Praise the Lord. We're trying to get all the roof finished and the siding finished and all these things. Praise God. But I'm already looking at the next building in my heart. I'm already looking at a bigger sanctuary that's filled. You say, well, the one that you got isn't filled. Yeah, I know that. But I don't want just that one filled. I want the next one filled too. Amen. Because God enlarges our hearts. Amen. And so you say, well, okay, that's great for you, Pastor Jeff. But what about the rest of us? See, we're all part of the same body. And if we're not allowing our hearts, if we're not allowing God to enlarge all of our hearts, then we will always stay small without what God has. And when I say small, it doesn't matter if we're a church of 10 or if we're a church of 10,000. That's not small. It's in the impact of which we're accomplishing. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the signs of a pastor, one of the proof of a pastor, amen, is people. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. And this used to be, you know, this has always been told to me that one of the things that follows the office of a pastor is people. And, you know, in my mind, that was awesome. That gave me good direction. But it also sometimes would trip me up because I was like, well, if I have a small congregation, does that mean I'm not a very good pastor? But then when one of my pastors qualified that recently, actually, and it set something free on the inside of me, he said, and what I mean by that is the lives of the people. What's happening in life? See, you can have one person, but if their life is being changed by the gospel, then you know that you can see the sign of the office of the pastor working. Praise the Lord. And isn't that what we see? We see lives change all the time. Why? Not because of what I do, but because of what God wants to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. But if we won't allow ourselves to see that, if we won't allow him to enlarge our hearts, if people come in, you know, one of the things I do when people first come into church is I encourage them along the lines of faith and believing God for more and learning how to trust God and learning how to believe that God will actually answer their prayers and teaching them how to pray right and teaching them how to receive the things that God has for them, teaching them how to walk out the plan of God for their lives. All of these things are found in that. That is my greatest joy, is to help people find that thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. But that is all the enlargement of the heart. You know, you came into church one day, praise the Lord, and you came in for various reasons. Each one of you came in for a different reason. But this we do know is that God had a plan for each one of you. He brought you here to discover what that plan is. And I'm going to tell you, each one of you, that that plan is way bigger than you are today. Amen. The plan that God has for me is way bigger than who I am or what I am. The plan of God is so much larger than what we are. Amen. And so even though we might not be able to out here, you know, the Bible doesn't say he was going to enlarge our pocketbook. Now, let me qualify this. I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm not saying that won't happen. But that's not what he cared about. He's not saying that he's going to enlarge our influence. It does not saying here that can and will happen. Amen. He's not saying that he's going to enlarge our numbers in the church. That can and will happen. But that's not what he's saying. What does he say? He's, I need to enlarge your heart. He needs to enlarge our heart because first, everything that God does, it's first conceived in the heart. Amen. That he puts things in our hearts so that we can start desiring them, so we can start needing them, praise the Lord. And when we need the things of God, then he will take us into, then he can take us in and move us into all that he has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I never saw myself pastoring two churches, much less one. I never saw myself pastoring at all, praise the Lord. I couldn't conceive of how God could do that in me. I couldn't conceive how God would give me a message every week. Praise the Lord. When I first started preaching, amen, I was like, I knew that I had to share the pulpit with my wife because I didn't think I could come up with more than two or three sermons a month. Yeah. And now I have to do three a week generally, amen. If my wife doesn't preach and, you know, we share the pulpit, praise the Lord, as God leads, but you know, I know this, that God will put as many in me as I need. Yeah. Amen. But see, a sermon, we all should preach a sermon every day. Amen. We should preach sermons to our lives and to the things that are going on. I said lives, not wives. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we preach to things all the time. We preach to our life. Amen. Glory to God. And we all need to learn how to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's free, no charge. Amen. Turn with me to Romans 8:28. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't he? He loves us. He loves us so greatly. You know, when God said it amazes me the promises of God and the things that people still don't believe. When he said, you know, I've never left you nor forsaken you, that means he's always there for us. And if we got God who's always there for us, then what else could we need? God has the ability of everything, praise the Lord, and he's put that ability on the inside of us. It's in our hearts, praise the Lord. He wants to expand our hearts, but a lot of times people won't allow him to expand their hearts. One of the things God taught me a lot about is stop saying can't, stop saying won't, stop saying, you know, I will do this or I won't do this or whatever. I just said whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. Amen? I ain't going to put it in a box. I'll live in any town he has me to live in. Why? Because my life is blessed in the plan. If God calls me, the last place I can think about I would want to live. Where's the last place I'd want to live right now? Do you have any idea? New York City. The last place I'd want to live is New York City. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, I'd go there if God had me. And I'd go there joyfully if God had me. You know why I go there? Because if God, it's part of God's plan, then that's where I'm blessed. That's where my joy is full. So I may not be happy there now, but if it's God's plan for me to go there, then I would be joyful. Now, I like visiting. Amen. I like visiting places like that, but I wouldn't want to live there. Oh, I know where I wouldn't want to live. We just recently got to go to L.A. Praise the Lord. That was even worse than New York City. Amen. It was even warmer, but it was worse. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You couldn't pay me enough money naturally to live there. I'm just telling you the truth. You couldn't pay me enough money naturally to live there. Praise the Lord. But I go there for free for God. Hallelujah. I said I go there for free for God. I'd live there. I wouldn't say poverty because you can't. If you're living for God, you can't live in poverty. Praise the Lord. But you know what I mean? I would go there for free for him. I wouldn't charge anything. Praise the Lord. I'd do whatever God had me to do because our joy is always full in the plan of God. It's always full in the plan of God. So wherever God has you right now, be excited. Wherever he's taking you, be excited. Just get excited for the plan of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 8, 28. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Amen. To those who are the called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. If you are in this place of being called according to his purpose, now he's called all of us. Amen. But this is what this is referring to is those who are following the plan of God. But the Bible says that all things work together for the good for these people. For good. Not just for like, you know, it's just for good forever. No, for good, for actually good things. All things work together for good to those who love God. Jesus said, if you love me, do what I say. Right? What do we read there in Psalms? Praise the Lord. We read there, I will run the course of your commandments. I will do what you say. I will love your word. I will love you. Praise the Lord. To those who love God, all things work together for good. See, listen, this is the thing that so many people, we want to skip over this. We want to read it fast. But let's really like chew on this for a minute. All things work together for good. So, you remember back there in the Old Testament when Joseph, his brothers, sold him into slavery. He went into slavery, and then he went through all this trial and all these things. He went into slavery, and then he was in jail. Praise the Lord. But in the end, what did he say to his brothers when they came and repented to him when he was saving their butts from the trouble that they had gotten themselves into? Amen. What did he say to him? He said, what you meant for bad, God meant for good. It's the same thing here. All things work together for good for those who love God. Joseph loved God. He wasn't perfect. Joseph didn't do everything perfectly, but Joseph loved God. I think you need to listen to what I just told you. Joseph didn't do everything perfectly, but Joseph loved God. You don't do everything perfectly. Did anybody in here screwed up this week? Anybody in here made a mistake this week? Anybody in here thought, oh God, how could you ever get anything good out of me? Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? I've been there too, praise the Lord. But if you love God, all things work together for good. It doesn't matter. See, because the devil will come up with plans, but God's got counter plans. See, the devil, he makes himself, he tries to convince us that he's got more plans than God does, but God's got way more plans than he does. God's been around, you know, God created the devil. He didn't create him as the devil, but he created him, amen? Therefore, that means that God has been around longer, amen? You know one thing I love telling my sons? I've been around longer than you have. I know something you don't know. I always do. I always know a little bit more than you do. That makes me better than you. Just kidding. Hallelujah. No, I'm not saying it makes me better than you, but it does give me, I love being where I'm at in life. And I'll tell you what, when I look back in my 20s, when I look at my 20-something-year-old, praise the Lord, and I think about, the things that he has to figure out in life, because you do, right? You got to figure out anything in life. Yeah, you got to figure out stuff in life. We all know that, right? I ain't got to figure out that stuff again. Why? Because I've already been down that road. I know something, amen? Now, I may not know a lot, but I know enough to get me through my 20s because I got through, amen? Praise the Lord. I at least know what I did wrong and what I'm doing better now, amen? Praise the Lord. Now, if I was still living the same way I was then, which a lot of people are, then I didn't learn anything, right? You understand? But God's the same way. He's been around longer than the devil has. So he's got better plans. So we might as well just connect to his plans and be blessed with him. Amen. than to be coming up with our own stuff, trying to figure it all out. Amen. I love it when people, I just want to figure it out on my own. Yeah, you could. Go ahead. You do that. You know what you're going to figure out? I'll tell you what you're going to figure out. You're going to figure out you should have listened in the first place. Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the greatest things that I learned is that I know nothing. Yes, absolutely. Praise the Lord. You know what I know more than my son? I know nothing. Amen. See, when you're 20 or 21, 22, in the early 20s, mid-20s, you can still think that you know something. But by the time you get in your 40s, you should start knowing that you know nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm fine with that. I just know where to go to get something. Amen. I don't need to know anything. I just need to know God. Because if I know God, it doesn't matter what I know or don't know. He'll tell me what I need to know. Amen. Yeah, amen. That's as good as it is. And I'm picking on my son a little bit, but there's truth to that. That when you're walking through life, you know, you're stepping out. I look at a lot of these kids. Of course, we're in that place where our kids are starting to get up and get to that place where they're, you know, moving into their own lives. And they still, even though they have the word put in them and all these things, they still have to try things out. I mean, you can explain to somebody how to swim. But when you throw them in a pool, they got to put it to practice. You know what I'm saying? Well, sometimes, you know, 20s about being thrown into the pool. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And he's treading water good, though. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We just love the Lord and what he's doing. Amen. So if you're called according to his purpose, if you are the called according to his purpose, then you know that all things are working together for good for you. So it doesn't matter what rises up. You say, well, this may be a trial. I don't like this. Maybe something that's hard on my flesh. But if I follow God, it will work for me. I said, if I follow God, if I follow God, if I do. Doesn't mean you will. Listen, it doesn't. Not all things work together for God for good to those who stop following God. You notice it's those who love the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, do what I tell you to do. Why did Jesus say that? Because he wants all things to work together for good for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Amen. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. This is important, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Now, see, a lot of people can take this scripture and say, well, see, God's got predestination. He believes in predestination, you know, or he predestined us all. If we live this life, all these things that happen, this is just what God has predestined for us. But that's not what it's saying. What it said is, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image. He has predestined us all to be conformed into the image of God, into the image of Jesus. We got to connect to this. He's predestined. God is pre-planned. Jeremiah 29:11. He's got a plan. I know the thoughts and plans I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of peace and not of evil, give you a future and a hope. He's predestined you for something. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can predestine somebody for something. It does not mean that they're going to go in that way. It doesn't mean that they're going to follow that path. God has a path for us. Praise the Lord. And he intends that we would walk in it. And if we do walk in it, then the goal is to get us to be conformed into the image of his son. Amen. It goes on to say, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Praise the Lord. To be glorified means to be made magnificent. Hallelujah. It means to be exalted. It means to be something that is desired. Amen. Something that is glorified. You think about something that is glorified. It's something that you put up on a shelf and put a light on. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, electricians are expensive, right? Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You got to have an electrician come in your house. It's expensive. That's why I always learned how to do electricity myself. Yeah. Amen. And know enough now to just be dangerous. Hallelujah. But, I love in old houses, you look at old houses, they didn't have very many outlets, they didn't have very many things, you know, maybe one outlet in a room, maybe one light in a room, maybe, praise the Lord. But now we have outlets and lights for everything. You walk into my house now, it was built within the last 20 years or so, praise the Lord. But you walk into my house and there is, seriously, I am not kidding you, within the last 2 months, I have just figured out what some of the light switches do. I'm not joking. It's ridiculous. It's gone way too far. It's gone above me. But you know, you talk to an electrician. They say, "Well, you got to have, you know, you got four ways to enter this room, so you have to have 15 ways to turn on one light." Yeah. That's just important. You got to be able to do it. Because God forbid you walk across the room and have to turn on a light switch. Now, you need to be able to do it here, and you need to be able to control. Man, I can control light switches. I can control light switches on my garage from inside my living room. Why do I need to do that? I don't need to do that. Now I got light switches. I got light switches I can control on my phone. I ain't even got to get up. I need one light switch and a bunch of, you know, just one phone app. Amen? Praise the Lord. Just control them all. Just sit on my couch. Amen? But, the point I'm getting to is that, you know, we put in all these special things now, and you put in special lights. If you have a painting on the room, I remember my brother bought this painting. They bought it on one of their trips, and they built this room, and they didn't build the room for the painting, but they wanted the painting in the room. You understand what I'm saying? But when they built the room, they had the painting in mind to be on a certain wall. And so what they did was, we're going to wire in certain lights just for that painting. All they do is illuminate that painting, right? That's glorified. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us illuminated. Why? You don't glorify something that's ugly. Amen. You don't, that ugly picture that your kid drew that you don't really want. I'm just saying, but that doesn't get hung on the, it might get put on the fridge for a while, but you certainly don't put a light on it. We don't have any ugly pictures in our house, by the way. Praise the Lord. But you don't put that, you know what I mean? You don't look for a piece of trash and just throw it on the paint by numbers. You don't see very many paint by number paintings put on the wall with light shining on them. Yeah. Well, you might now, because now it's kind of a thing, to get vintage stuff. I'm kind of into that too, but praise the Lord. But you don't normally do that. Why? Because it's just not valuable. But man, you go to an art museum and they got I remember we went and saw the Starry Night. It was one of my favorite paintings. I always wanted to see it. We were in New York City. Got to go see Starry Night. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's a beautiful painting by Van Gogh. And what's that? Yeah, it's about as big as that window. It's not very big. I mean, you see it blown up, big posters and everything, but that's all the bigger it is. But there is one section in this place, in this art museum. So this art museum is full of priceless works of art. Amen. Very expensive works of art. And here this museum is full of these works of art. But in this one room, there's this one area in this one room for this painting. It's got its own wall. And it's got its own viewing area. And there's literally hundreds and hundreds of people there all the time just looking at the painting. Just standing there looking at this painting. And it's amazing to me because this artist that did this, he only ever sold one painting in his entire life. He died poor. Amen. What's that? He was my wife's age. Was he that young? He was at my wife's age when he died. But he only ever sold one painting in his life. And now every one of his paintings, if they found a corner of one of his paintings, it would sell for millions of dollars. Not even a full painting. If you found a painting in the garbage that was his and it was all broken up and there was just a few pieces of it, it'd be millions of dollars. It's just the way that it is. But what's happened? This painting has been glorified. Amen. Whom he justified, those he glorified. This is what God wants to do. I'm giving you these illustrations so you understand that to God, you're worth more than a Van Gogh. To God, you're better than Starry Night. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants you glorified. He wants, and why does he want you glorified? So you walk around saying, look at me. No, he doesn't want that. He wants you glorified because when you walk around glorified, if you've been glorified by God, you resemble your Heavenly Father. And then when people look at your life, they see God, and they can't help but say, because see, this is what the gospel is meant to do. The gospel is meant to change your life so that when people look at your life, they see him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And we need to ask ourselves as a Christian, does my life reflect my Heavenly Father? Does my life show the goodness of God? Does my life show how much God is just wants to pour out on me? And praise the Lord. And this is what I love. I love that God has used me because I'm a person who didn't deserve it. I'm a person who wasn't valuable. I'm a paint by numbers kind of person. You know what I mean? I wasn't even good for paint by numbers, man. I might have been coloring book pages. You know what I mean? Someone rips out doctor's office, colors, and then throws away. It doesn't matter. That's what I was. But God has glorified me. God, you understand what I'm saying. He's done things in my life. He's doing things in my life that show his goodness. Because what he wants to do is he wants other people to say, hey, look at. And when I say glorified, I'm not saying he didn't make me better looking. God knows I could have used that, but I got my wife, and so that's all I need. She likes me, and that's all that matters, praise the Lord. I'm glad she likes me. I'm glad that he at least glorified me in her eyes, amen, praise the Lord. But he didn't make me better looking. He didn't make me skinnier, amen. I prayed about it many times, but he still won't do it. Amen. He doesn't know what it is. He said, put down the Twinkies and the Ding Dongs, and I'll make you skinnier. Amen. Because he made my body make itself skinny. You understand, praise the Lord. But that's just, you know, that's just the way it is. But, God wants to show his goodness through our lives. That's what he intends. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What a wonderful scripture this is. And I know this is not a scripture that we're unfamiliar with. But man, if you ever get tired of hearing this scripture, there's something wrong with you. Now, I'm just saying the truth. If I got up here and preached every single day, if I got up here every single Saturday and preached this scripture alone, that's enough that should excite you. Yes. Amen. At least until you get it, amen, or unless you don't get it, praise the Lord. But look what it says here. It says, but delivered him up for us all. Yes. God delivered Jesus for us all. He delivered him up. He gave him over. He paid with his son. His most precious possession, the most precious thing that God had, the thing that meant the most of him, he delivered for us. That should speak to us. That should tell us something. This isn't, folks, this isn't just about being saved for eternity. That's great. But God wants to do something with us here. He wants us to be in his plan here. His plan is for now. He delivered Jesus to us for now. Amen. He did it 2,000 years ago for you today. Deliverance, this deliverance is given to us for every single day that we live. Do we need salvation once we're in heaven? No, because if you're in heaven, you're already saved. Right? That should speak to us. If you're in heaven, you're already saved. Amen? If you're there, you've already got the entry. Well, praise the Lord. If you were to die today, are you going to heaven? So what are you? Saved. Praise the Lord. That should tell us something. Amen. Yeah. We're already saved. Yeah. It's already done. Yeah. See, we're running around. We're looking for God. We're like, well, God, what am I going to do? He's just like, just chill out, man. Just chill out. Just back off a little bit. If I delivered him up for you already, praise God. Listen, I know you may have done something stupid this week. But God knew 2,000 years ago you'd do something stupid. It didn't stop him from delivering Jesus up for you. He knew every stupid thing you would ever do in your life, and it still didn't stop him from giving you Jesus. In fact, there's been people. Can you say that there's anybody you've ever seen that has done something more dumb than you've ever done? Praise the Lord. Have you ever been in that position? You're like, man, I've done some dumb things, but I've never done anything that stupid. God gave Jesus for that one that did that stupid thing too. So my point to you today is that God delivered Jesus 2,000 years ago knowing full well all the stupid things that we would do, but it didn't stop him from saving us. It didn't stop him from giving us abundant life. It didn't stop him from pouring out everything to us. In fact, it gave him more reason to do it. He said, I want to give you more. Praise the Lord, I just want to give you all at once. Here it is. He could have given us a little. He could have given us something. Maybe he could have made an angel or something to do something good for us. But no, he didn't just give us an angel. He didn't just give us a few things. He didn't just give us the word. He gave us Jesus. He poured out Jesus. He said, here, have it all. I see those stupid things, but have it all. I don't care what you do. Praise the Lord. Now, God does care what we do, you understand. But what I'm saying is it doesn't stop him from being good. It doesn't stop him from pouring out in our lives. What God wants to do is pour out in our lives. Our lives need to be reflections of God pouring out in our lives. And when it will happen is when Christians start saying, I am done living a dead life. Because this is the problem. A lot of Christians have never stopped living dead. Doesn't make sense, right? But before you knew Jesus, you were dead. Why then do we go back and we revert back to that way of thinking, that way of doing, that way of acting, that way of living? Jesus has set us free. God delivered him up for us knowing that we were not perfect. He didn't care about that. He wanted us glorified. He wanted you exalted. He wanted you to look good. He wanted you breaking through. He wanted you winning every single time. This is what God has done for us. This is who our God is. So why do we doubt it? I done preached my phone right off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so good. He loves us so much. Praise the Lord. This should keep us, these scriptures should keep us forever just looking to God and desiring more of Him. We have to allow Him to enlarge our hearts. Tonight, your hearts are being enlarged. Tonight, you're seeing, even if you've known God's goodness, tonight you're hearing the message that will set you free. You're hearing that thing that's like, whenever, you got to understand this. Whenever there's something that's holding you back, it's not God. Because God doesn't hold you back. God will remove things from us, or God will hold things back from us that will hurt us. But He does not hold us back. God is not keeping us in the background to not be used. You say, the position God gave me was cleaning the toilets. Well, praise the Lord. There's glory in cleaning the toilets. There's something on the other side that He's trying to get in you, trying to get over to you. He's trying to work in you, praise the Lord. I've cleaned toilets. I've been the servant and I've been served, praise the Lord. I prefer to be the servant. I really do. I'm not trying to be humble. I just do. I don't like having the lights on me. I don't even like doing some of the things pastors have to do because you have to be seen and you have to talk and all this stuff, you know. Praise the Lord. And I don't necessarily like that. I like doing the things behind the scenes. Amen. But that's not what God has for me. And so what we have to know in that is no matter what God has for us, that we do it with joy. That we do it. And see, I don't talk down about my call. I'm not talking down about my call. I'm saying, naturally speaking, I don't love these things. But I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't trade my job for anything. I wouldn't trade what God's doing in my life for anything. Absolutely not. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Turn with me to Acts 17. We're just going to see where this goes. Amen. Because I don't fully know where it's going. I'm just following with the scriptures that God has for me to give to you. Amen. I doubt highly I'm getting through it all. I just didn't realize that there would be this much on you. Amen. But there's a lot God wants to say tonight. Amen. I believe that. Praise the Lord. You know, literally, some of the things I say, I don't even know as they're coming out of my mouth, I'm just as surprised as you are that they're coming out. And I'm not joking about that. I had a thought a few minutes ago when I was preaching. I had a quick, instant thought like, what are you going to say next? I'm not joking. I had that thought. And I answered that thought. This all happened in a split second. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say next. I'm just going to keep talking because it's good. It's coming out good. I don't know what it is. I'm just going to follow that train. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God for God, because, you know, I wouldn't have that much to say. Amen. I mean, I might have that much to say, but it wouldn't be as good as it was. Amen. Praise the Lord. Acts 17:26. And if any of you think that that's a joke, it really wasn't. That really happened. Amen. Praise the Lord. Acts 17:26. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined, listen to this, this is important. Here's some more to those predestination folks, but we'll address that. And has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. What this is talking about here is that He has determined each time, like God, now listen, God didn't make our parents make us. We all know how that works, right? God didn't come down and tell our parents, all right, make a child. I mean, some people, I suppose He has, but He hasn't with most of us, amen? Most of us did it on our own accord, amen? Praise the Lord. It wasn't hard for us to get into it, but we didn't need a voice from heaven to tell us. We had plenty of reason to just go ahead and do it. So we did what we did to do what we did, amen, to get what we got, amen? Praise the Lord. But God has determined which spirit enters that body. God has determined it. So the spirits, the Bible says that God knew us before we were born. So He knew our spirits. So our spirits were around or in existence before our bodies were here. What they were doing, I don't know. Amen. Maybe the Bible tells us, but I don't know. But our spirits were there. And God determined which spirit would fill that body. Amen. So, but the point in saying this is He's predetermined what periods of time we would live in. Some people lived 5,000 years ago. Some people lived 200 years ago. Some people will live 3 days from now. You understand what I'm saying? There's different times, but he's determined those times and those places. He sent the spirit there. You know what I mean? He said, well, this one looks Chinese, so I'm going to send it to China. This one looks Swedish, so I'm going to send it to Sweden. It didn't happen like that, but praise the Lord. But you understand, he's determined all those. He's determined whether the spirit would end up being Chinese or this one would end up being Swedish. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say to us, is that he determined where all of these go. Amen. Though he didn't physically make all babies happen, amen, he determined which ones would go where when they went, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so if he's got a plan and purpose, and we know he does, for each one of us, then these places and these times where he's placed us, inevitably there would be things there for us to walk in. There would be the abilities to walk in the things that he has for us to walk in. And so if you are you, where you are, praise the Lord, I've got good news for you, that God has got everything that you need, because you're not here by accident. You're here by the plan of God. Amen? And you say, well, my parents were surprised. It doesn't matter if your parents were surprised, because they didn't determine what spirit went where. They only determined what sperm went where. Amen? You know what? Well, praise the Lord. We have to know how all this stuff works. Amen? Glory to God. So God has given you everything you need for this time and place to fulfill the call that he has for you. Praise God! He's given us a way to accomplish all we need to do. He's determined our pre-appointed times and the boundaries of our dwellings. God knows what he would give you. He knows what lands he would have for you to rule, and what houses he would have for you to build, and what cars he would have for you to drive. All these things are dwelling. That's what all this is. Everything that's is there for us. He knows that, hey, we can handle the winter, so you're going to live there. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've seen people that can't handle it at all. I mean, they get like, you get a dusting of snow and they can't even go outside their house. Amen. Oh man, we're out there. We just come alive, man. Amen. When there's 2 feet of snow on the ground, praise the Lord. Glory to God. But God's enabled us. He's given us ability. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this is what it's talking about. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though, and this is what I want to get to, though he is not far from each one of us. God is not that far from any of us. He's not, see, we plead with God, God, where are you? I'm in this situation. He's not that far away. Actually, he's right there with us. He's right there. You just got to relax, amen? Look at this in verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. In him we live and move and have our being. We're not doing this alone. In Christ, when we are in God, we are moving with him. We live and move and have our being. Everything that we do, his hands are in. Praise the Lord. And if he wants us glorified, then that can't be bad. Right. You got to look at your life and you say, is this glorify God? And if it doesn't, you say, well, then something's got to change. Yeah. That's the first step of faith. So I said, something's got to change. Yeah. You got to get something in you that just won't let it be that way anymore. Right. You're just a decision that I'm talking about just a mental state, a frame of mind. It just can't be this way because this doesn't glorify God. Right. My life doesn't glorify God like this, so I demand in the name of Jesus that it changes. I demand that things start changing, praise the Lord. Now, we can't be stupid. Obviously, if we go out and we do dumb things that cause bad things to happen, amen, that our lives won't glorify God. But this is why we get led by the Spirit. This is why we learn how to be led by the Spirit. Because as we are led by the Spirit, as we put that to practice, he always leads us to truth. And truth always sets us free, amen? Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I talk often about how we pray sometimes and we don't pray prayers that are actually good prayers to pray. They're not praying the way we should pray. And I did that just this afternoon. as I was meditating on these scriptures, you know, I was getting scriptures, but I didn't, as I told you, I didn't have direction for the service. I didn't have a, I couldn't even name the message because I just couldn't, I couldn't put it together in my own mind. And so I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, how did I say it? I say, Lord, you know, I start praying, Lord, show me. And then what I realize is that God said that, God has already said that I would see it. God has given me a gift to see it. He's given me the ability. So it's not on God's end. God wasn't withholding, and this is what I want to say about it, I guess, is that God wasn't withholding the knowledge of what he wanted me to have, to preach. He wasn't withholding it from me. He's not, obviously tonight, he's not withholding it from you. God wasn't holding back. And so I'm saying, I'm going to the Lord. Lord, show me. And what I'm doing essentially by saying that is, Lord, why aren't you showing me? He's like, I'm not holding back. God says, I haven't held anything back from you. Whatever he's called us to do, he's given us the ability to know how to do it. Whatever he's called us to do, he's given us the ability to see it. The ability. So I'm like, Lord, help me to see what you have. There's a difference in that. It's not, Lord, show me. It's not like you see, and just our words sometimes can be just twisted a certain way that can be wrong and make them wrong. God is not withholding anything from anyone. He is not keeping back. He withholds no good thing from those who love him. That's what the word says, right? Can't remember exactly where the scripture is, but I know it's in there. Amen. We can look it up afterwards, Google it afterwards. But he withholds no good thing. God isn't withholding truth from us. He said, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth. You'll know it. I'm not withholding it. God isn't keeping it back. He's given us his whole book to tell us he's not withholding. So to go to God and say, Lord, show me, you understand what I'm saying. And he spoke that to me, that if I believed him, that I would see it. Amen. Yeah. That I have to trust him for it. That I have to know that God is, that he will always do what he said he was going to do. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Psalm 119:18, back to Psalm 119, right? It says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. We understand that the law is the word. That's what it's referring to. Praise the Lord. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word. Open my eyes. This is what it's talking about here is revelation. Having revelation of the Lord, help me to have revelation of what you're saying. God is not holding back. He is not refusing to show us. He is not refusing to get over to us the things that we need to know. Praise the Lord. We may not be able to see it. And this is why the Bible says, you know, why we're told to stay in church, stay in the Word, and to pray in the Spirit and do all these things. This is why God has told us all these things, not to put us under some kind of bondage, but because he wants to reveal things to us. He's desiring for us to know. But sometimes our eyes can't see it. And so the psalmist said there, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in your Word, in your law. Amen. Look at what wondrous things from your law. The psalmist had enough knowledge of God to know that there wasn't things in there that were bad. There wasn't things in there to keep them back. There was only things to take us forward. Amen? Turn with me to Ephesians 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:17. This is something we pray all the time. Look what it says here. 17 and 18, Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, seeing wondrous things in your law. Amen. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Okay, so if you may know, if there's something to be known, what is it? It's truth, right? If you can know something, if there's something to be known, then it's truth. You can't know something that's not truth. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be truth. It's got to be true. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So we understand this. There's a hope in his calling, and there is riches of glory. Praise the Lord. Glory is richness. Amen. What does that mean? Well, it could mean many things. Praise the Lord. Of course, it could be, you know, finances, stuff like that. But, you know, riches is also in, you know, I had some lobster bisque the other day at this restaurant we went to. And talk to me afterwards. We'll tell you where to go to get it. Because even if you don't like lobster bisque, you'll love this one. Because I don't love lobster bisque, but I love this one. Amen. But they have on the menu, they have two, they have lobster bisque. And I think the price was $4.99 for a bowl of it. And then they have lobster bisque extraordinaire for $6.99. I'm going to tell you something. I've learned something in my life. I don't want the ordinary. I want the extraordinary. And so it wasn't any issue in my mind when I saw it was $2 more for extraordinary. I'm paying $2. I'm just here to tell you, hallelujah. I am not going to forego extraordinary for two stinking dollars. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Get the extraordinary because it was way better. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But when you got this lobster bisque, it was rich. Oh, man, it was good. Like, it was a meal in of itself. It was like you ate that, and you almost didn't need anything else, but we were in a good place with good food, and so I got more. But the lobster biscuit was rich. Hallelujah. What was it? It was full of flavor. It didn't leave wanting. Hallelujah. This is what rich is. You understand? It didn't leave wanting. I didn't eat that bowl of lobster soup and think, you know what? Their lobster bisque and say, yeah, I got corrected on that one time. I said, I'll have the tomato soup. And the guy said to me all snooty, he's like, that's tomato bisque. Okay, I'll have the tomato bisque. Praise the Lord. This was a different restaurant, different time. But anyway, so I had the lobster soup, right? The lobster bisque. Oh, man, was it good. But when I ate it, I didn't think afterwards, you know what? They could have added a little bit more of this. Now, see, if I had gotten the regular, the ordinary lobster bisque, it wouldn't have been full of glory. But the lobster bisque extraordinaire is full of glory. So if you took nothing else away from you tonight, just remember, lobster bisque extraordinaire is full of glory. Amen? Praise the Lord. Go for the extraordinaire. Spend the extra $2. Amen? Sometimes we just got to do that. You understand? That's part of enlarging our hearts. You know, poverty mentality might have been like, yeah, this meal. Have you ever done this at a restaurant? You're like, I really want this meal, but it's $3 more than the other meal. Spend the $3. I'm just telling you, just spend the $3. God will cover it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But rich leaves nothing wanting. When something's rich, when it's full of glory, there's nothing wanting afterwards. There's nothing afterwards you say, well, I could have used a little more salt. You know, my life could use a little more salt. That's not rich. Right. You understand? We're talking about the riches of God's glory that he wants us to understand and to know. Listen, you can't know something unless you experience something. I said you can't know something unless you experience something. You can't know what glory is unless you've experienced glory. So don't tell me that God just wants us to look upon glory, to look out there and see glory on everyone else and not experience it in our own life. No, God wants us to know what the riches of his glory is. Praise the Lord. He wants to know what his abundance is. Praise the Lord. He wants us to know what exceedingly. He wants us to know lobster bisque extraordinaire. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can't say that in one breath. Hallelujah. The things God has for us, we shouldn't be able to get out in one breath. Praise the Lord. The things that God has for us, it takes a little bit more. And it takes more to get into because it's worth more. But when it's worth more, praise the Lord, it means it's worth contending for. God didn't give us things that aren't worth contending for. I'm telling you what, I've lived a life that wasn't worth contending for, that nobody would want. It was a throwaway life. And most Christians, most people spend their lives living throwaway lives because they just don't understand that God wants it to be extraordinary. They just don't believe it. But they don't believe it because they don't get in the Word and see it. The Word tells us he gave us Jesus. He will withhold nothing from us. God wants our hearts expanded. He wants us to see the fullness of his glory here. He wants the world to look at us and say, what is going on with them? But I don't know, but I want it. I need it. I need that in my life. Hallelujah. That's what your life is supposed to be, a reflection of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lobster bisque extraordinaire. You heard it here. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. How much time I got? Not much. Not much. Mean 2 minutes or less? Or 5 minutes? I got 10 minutes? Is 10 minutes not too? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 4:15. We're getting close here. Oh, not by my message standards, but we're getting close because the time will not allow us to go further. Praise the Lord. But I think we're getting the gist of what God is saying here tonight, aren't we? Because I know you're getting something here tonight. I'm getting something here tonight. And if I can get something, then that means you definitely can. Because you're smarter than I am. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:15. 4:15 and 4:16. 1 Timothy. Praise the Lord. Look what it says here. Tells us what to do. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. That your progress may what? Be evident to all. Notice it didn't say you're backsliding may be evident to all. Didn't say that you're almost or you're missing the mark may be evident to all. No, that your progress. Progress. This is good. This is a good thing. Progress means that you're progressing. It means you're moving forward. It means you're going somewhere. You know, have you ever felt like you were taking one step forward, two steps back? I've felt that way for many years. It's like everything I do, I'm going backwards on. But I'm living forward, but I'm going backwards. You know what I mean? I mean, living forward in that I'm aging, but I'm not getting anywhere. God's people aren't supposed to do this. God's people are supposed to be fresh and flourishing in their old age, the Bible says. Yeah. It says you'll be fresh and flourishing in your old age. This is what we need. Meditate on these things. What things? The Word. The goodness of God's Word. Actually, if you read in context, he's talking about the gift, and he's actually speaking to a pastor, but what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And praise the Lord. And if I'm the goose, I guess you're the gander. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know if that all fits, but it sounded good in the moment. Amen. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. What does it mean to take heed? It means to take care and pay attention to it. Don't let it slip. Don't let it go. What's the doctrine? It's the stuff you're hearing in church. It's the word being revealed to you. That's the doctrine. It's the truth of God's word. That's the doctrine. Take heed to it. Yo, when things come around, wait, no. I can't hear all that because I got to focus on this right here. I don't know about you, but I can't focus on a lot of things at once. Amen. If I'm playing a video game, my wife knows she can't talk to me. She does, but she knows I'm not going to hear it. Amen. Praise the Lord. The other day I was doing something. I don't know what it was. I was with my buddy, Pastor Scott, and Pastor Scott was telling me something. And the next day he asked me about it. And I said, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. He said, we had a whole conversation about it. I said, well, I didn't hear any of it because I had no idea what he was talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, that's what happens. I wasn't taking heed to what he said. Taking heed to what something else said. Praise the Lord. You got to take heed to the doctrine. Amen? Don't be distracted by this other stuff in life. I'm talking about in life. You're living life. Just live life. Taking heed to the doctrine. Follow God. Amen? Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Praise the Lord. As you preach the message, as you go out there and you tell people about your church, as you go out there and you tell people about your God, as you go out there and tell people about how good-looking your pastor is, praise the Lord, as you go out there and you share all these things, amen, with all these people, you say, you got to come, praise the Lord. Take heed to that stuff. Continue in them, amen. Praise the Lord, because you'll save both of those. Why? Because there's people that aren't hearing this tonight. There's people who are sitting on their duffs not hearing what you're hearing tonight. You made it. You got out. Praise the Lord for you. You got out here and you're hearing the word. You're hearing word that will change your life. If you heard this message and only this message, this will take you till Jesus comes home. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. Why? Because I preach it. It has nothing to do with me preaching it. If you don't like the way I preach it, that's fine. You pick up the scriptures, read them yourself. That's all you need is the word of God. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I was going to talk to you about not being conformed to the world, and I was going to talk to you about, praise the Lord, all the ways of man being pure in their own eyes, but we're not going to get into all that tonight because my wife says I'm out of time. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we are going to end here, Ephesians 4:17. Praise the Lord. And just in time for the coffee. Ephesians 4:17. Is that my timer? Praise the Lord. Well, whoever's made the coffee tonight, just set it that all the time. When I hear that beep, I'll know it's time to stop. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if for some reason you don't, let my wife know and she can beep. Beep! The funny thing is I'll forget about that and she'll go beep. I'll be like, what are you saying? Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4, 17, 18. We'll close here. Glory to God. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. It's futile to walk this life, to live this life in your mind. Isn't that talking about walking down the street? Use your mind when you're walking down the street. Don't walk down the street in the spirit. You walk down the street in the spirit, you might end up getting hit by a car. Why? Because when you're in the spirit, you're not mindful of the things of the flesh. Yeah, and cars are the flesh. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So you're walking down the street. It's not talking about walking down the street. He's talking about walking through your life. Praise God. He's talking about, where'd I go? For what? 4:17, yeah. This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Don't walk according to your mind. Don't live this life according to what you think you know. Live according to what God knows. You don't need to know what you know. What you know don't get you very far. What I knew got me nowhere, amen? It never even brought me to Corey. But God did. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Don't be ignorant people. What are ignorant people? They know, you know what an ignorant person is. It's a person that doesn't, that they ignore it. The big first part of the word is in there. Ignore, right? Ignorance. Amen. Praise God. Don't be ignorance. I coined that tonight. I want a shirt. Don't be ignorance. Don't have your understanding darkened. And don't be alienated from the life of God. Listen, ignorance, people who are ignorant, they are alienated from the life that God has for them. What are people that are ignorant? They're people that just, they read the scripture, but they don't believe it. They're people that look at the scripture, they're, but I'm going to do my own thing. Well, you know, Jesus, the apostles, the healing passed away then. Where does the scripture say that? This is all you got to tell. This is how you refute all the arguments. You don't even have to know. You don't even have to know how to answer stupid people. I'm just telling you right now, you don't have to know how to answer stupid Christians. Just tell me, show me the word. Somebody starts telling you, start spewing stuff. You show me in us. Well, I got this. No, I don't want to see that over there. You show me in here. You know, the Bible says that let everything be established by two or three witnesses. Show me in here two or three times where Jesus said that. Show me in here two or three times where Paul said that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, tell me where tongues has passed away. Show me two or three times in here. Not random, just, you know, some kind of, well, if you read between the lines, if you get the Greek and the Hebrew and the North Carolinian, praise the Lord, if you just get whatever version you want, praise, no, show me in the Word clearly where it says this has passed away. This is all you got to do. And see, people that do that, they're ignorant of the Word. There's preachers out there preaching messages. They'll preach them this weekend. They'll be ignorant of the word. Oh, God don't heal anymore. Why? Because you haven't seen it? Doesn't mean God doesn't do it. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean God does not doing it. Amen. And if you don't believe he's doing it, why do you pray to him anyways? Why do you ask him? If you believe that if God causes all the calamity in our lives, then why do you ask him to get out of it? It's stupid and it's ignorant. If you believe that everything is some predestined, pre-designed, like, you know, it's trial. I was walking, God determined that bus is going to run me over. Yeah, I mean, seriously, people believe this kind of stuff. It's foolishness. Show me in the Word. Show me in the Word where God runs his people over with buses. Guarantee you won't find it. You won't find it. Why? Because it's not in there. Amen? Just show me the Word. Show me the Word. That's four words that you just need to know. Whenever somebody tries to refute, show me in the Word. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Did you get anything tonight? I hope you did. I know I did. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all the truth of the Word setting us free. God, we thank you that we can walk in your goodness and your glory. We thank you, Lord, that you have intended for us to be glorious examples of your goodness. Rich lobster bisque extraordinaire.